The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
It's time to hear the truth, unfiltered. It's Sean Salisbury, unfiltered. He's played football, baseball, and basketball. He played pro football for 10 years, and he's been a broadcaster for 12 years. Now he takes it to the internet radio airwaves. Get ready for sports talk like you've never heard before. Now, here's Sean Salisbury.
Good Monday morning to you, folks. What a weekend of football we had. Obviously, there's other things to get to, like Tony Stewart getting in a fight with in Australia, and the talk about that. And supposed to be at Daytona this week. I guess there's a race at Daytona this week. The Daytona 500, obviously, isn't until. He's there to test for the Daytona 500 this week. But got in a fight. The only reason I'm bringing this up is because we're going to kill sports football-wise today. Supposedly he was arrested. This is just in the paper. Like I said, this is, you know, you never know what to believe when you read it. But in Australia, and got in a battle with one of the track's co-owner, Brett Morris, after he hit him with a helmet, and Morris gave him a black eye. So we'll see. No charges filed. He went down there to the police station until further investigation. But hey, I've always, you know, believed that while, you know, sports and football and baseball and basketball and hockey, you know, they're competing and doing what they do, protecting their livelihood. When your life may be on the line when you're racing on a racetrack, I understand why tempers flare. That's why these guys get in a fight. I mean, you know, guy misses a bad tackle or misses a tackle, people can, you know, on the field, they want to fight, or guy scores a touchdown and taunts him. That's one thing. But when you're driving cars as fast, 200 miles an hour, and these guys cut each other off, or they got a problem with the track, I understand why tempers flare. But a lot of football, folks. A lot of football. Pretty much sewn up with all the coaching changes. And the Dallas Cowboys, I'll get to that real quick, made one of the great hires in getting Rob Ryan. The Ryan family, folks, whether you like them or not, knows how to coach football. I've said many times on this show, I'm a huge Rex Ryan fan. Rex likes to talk, but his team backs it up, and boy, did they ever this weekend. But Rob Ryan, his brother, who I believe will be a head coach eventually too, we know Buddy's been there, was a wonderful defensive mind. Not a great head coach, but a wonderful defensive mind. Rex Ryan's a better head coach than his dad was, and a great defensive mind. And Rob Ryan's a wonderful defensive mind, and the Cowboys got themselves the best coordinator they've had here in quite some time. And I think at some point he's going to step in and be a head coach too. They got a flair for the dramatic. They talk it, but they walk it. And the Cowboys' biggest upgrade this offseason will be right there, where their defensive coordinator is. And I'm talking about players included. That is a huge get. And you'll see an aggressive approach. They'll get some youth in there. They'll do some things. And I love this hire by the Dallas Cowboys. Matter of fact, one of my favorite things, the Cowboys have done in the last handful of years since I've been here is getting Dez Bryant in the draft and this guy right here. Rob Ryan, you keep an eye on that. But football over the weekend, folks. It's 888-346-9144. My schedule this week's a little strange. I got to go out of town tomorrow. I should probably let the bosses know, but got all kinds of stuff going on, so it'll be hit and miss. But I'll make sure to let you know. Tomorrow I will not be on this show. I will. I got to be on an airplane and I got to fly for some business, so I won't be on show tomorrow. But tune in and listen to Voice America Sports anyway. And it's one of those crazy weeks as we head into the championship games in the AFC and NFC, and I've got a crazy week. And you know me, I don't take much time off. Don't like to take time off. I like to work every day. But tomorrow will not be on the show. But just giving you a heads up now. But we got 2 hours today to talk football and sports. And while there's good college basketball going on, we'll get to all that. NBA, hockey, all that golf. You know, it's about football. And what a weekend we had. And, you know, you look at some of the disappointments and some of the great things that went on. Things that stick out, and there's things that stuck out in every game. Not just, I'm talking about X's and O's, but the shocking part of it. The Seattle Seahawks, now this may not be shocking, but they showed up and played like a 7-9 football team. Well, people say 8-9 because they won a playoff game. It proved, and we'll give them respect because they played hard against the Saints. But in truth, that 7-9 team is nothing more than a 7-9 team. And their true colors showed. They're an average football team. They're not a great football team. They played great against the Saints. The Saints did not play great, and all credit to Seattle, as we talked about last week, for that. For that very reason, they deserve all the love they can get. But it was an aberration. This team is a 7-9, below 500 football team that can show up and play great at home. They're an awful team on the road, folks, and they're a different team on the road. The Chicago Bears kicked them in the teeth. It wasn't close. It actually looked for the most part like it was a Major League Baseball team playing against the Double A team. It really did. Seahawks got some late points, but that game was not in question from about in the first quarter, midway through to late. And I know people say, well, look what happened to the Ravens and look what the Saints did the week before. Well, I mean, look what the Seahawks did to the Saints the week before. But yeah, you're in Chicago's building. A far more physical team than the New Orleans Saints. And I haven't been overly impressed with Chicago most of this year. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm more impressed with them the last month or six games of the season than I have been in a handful of years. Obviously, the defense knows how to play. Rod Marinelli's got those guys running around, pressuring and tackling, making some great plays. But I'm most impressed with the page that Mike Martz and Jay Cutler are finally on together. And I don't know if Cutler's mellowed this year, if he's, and when I say mellowed, I'm talking about where he's not so worried about trying to prove to the world how strong his arm is. The guy's become a playmaker, and I've been as harsh on Jay Cutler as anybody in the media, and will admit it. And it's not personal. When Jay came out of Vanderbilt, I loved him when he first went to Denver. But then I think he got caught up in a lot of nonsense, and then, you know, Josh McDaniel, yeah, you don't think they'd like Jay Cutler back in Denver. Might have saved McDaniel's job. Not that Kyle Orton and Tim Tebow can't play or didn't play well. There's a lot more wrong in Denver, obviously, before McDaniel was fired. But Cutler, I mean, you know, the kind of the whiny, hasn't won a playoff game, hasn't been in a playoff game, all these things that Jay Cutler, that surrounded him. And, you know, times be thrown off his back foot and finger pointing and never taking the blame. Well, it looks to me like Cutler's taking on more of a leadership role. He's running it with his feet, playing with toughness. The arm strength, folks, is unparalleled in this league. I've said it all year long, whether I've been harsh on Cutler or not. The arm strength is unparalleled. It's the way he's playing under pressure that impresses me. And it's the way that if he makes a mistake, you know, a high throw that he missed a wide open guy, he's not making the same mistake twice. His decisions are good. He didn't have his best throwing game yesterday, but in snow and it's Chicago. There's very few quarterbacks in the league that will make the throws in Chicago-type weather. He's the best talent they've had at quarterback since, what, Sid Luckman? And I'm being honest. Jimmy McMahon was a winner. The truth is, if Cutler would take his talents and continue to attract that leadership in the way that Jimmy played for the Bears, the just find a way to win and put that with Cutler's talent, you'll have an elite quarterback. But he's got his team to the Final Four and playing lights-out football. I said at the beginning of the year, I don't think Jay Cutler's a Super Bowl quarterback. Well, he's one game away from saying, I've answered that question. Now, he's going to have his hands full next week against a nasty defense and a hell of a quarterback on the other side of the field. But I'm impressed, and you know what? I'm impressed with the way Cutler, and he's taken a lot of, it's not just for me, he's taken abuse all over the map. Cutler's taken abuse for a lot of different reasons. But instead of pout and listen to what we say, he's listen to what we say or listen to what people, the general feeling about him, and taking it to the next level. And a lot of that has to do with Mike Martz, because I'm going to tell you, and I said when Martz and Cutler got together, you think, well, is this a water and oil mix? And I've spoke to Kurt Warner, I spoke to Mark Bulger about these same subjects, that Mike Martz, and I've known Mike forever, there's no guy tougher on his quarterbacks and demanding, and it doesn't matter if you're a star, he'll get in your face, it doesn't matter if you're the third team guy, Mike just keeps it coming, it's a mile a minute. And if you're not doing what's right, he'll be in your face. You'll battle him, but you'll respect him because Mike will attack. And that's great for Cutler because Cutler's got somebody that doesn't roll out the red carpet and kiss his ass. Cutler's got somebody, and Mike knows how talented Cutler is, but Mike's one of these guys that doesn't matter. It's about winning games. Everybody will kiss your rear end if you win games. But Mike Cutler finally ran into somebody who said, no, not this time, pal. And Jay's responded. And a lot of credit's due to him. A lot of credit due to Cutler. And just in his demeanor in interviews, it seems to me he's a bit of a changed guy. When you say changed, did he have to make wholesale changes with those skills? No. But he did have to make some changes as his approach to the game. And he's gotten at it, and that's become a, they'll bump heads. But any good quarterback and any good coordinator should and always do bump heads. Fight over philosophy, argue, chew each other out, cuss each other out, and then hug each other after the game's over on Sunday. That's the way it is, man. It's football. We've all been there. It's the sensitive ones who can't handle it. Some of the fans and some of the media, too sensitive. Ooh, how do they do that? Well, those are the ones that have never been in that position. Never been in that the intensity of that position and why there's disagreements and coaches and players fighting. It happens. But Cutler and Martz have carved out some good things, and Mike's in a good rhythm of calling plays and Cutler. But the shocking thing to me in that game was just how elementary the Seattle Seahawks were. Guys dropping balls, people not open, quarterbacks not making throws. Their weaknesses showed big time in that game. Huge. In the other game, the shocking thing was how a number one seed Atlanta really wasn't as good as we thought they were. Good team, not a great team. The Green Bay Packers made them, to talk about abuse. Talk about abuse. So the shocking thing about that was, the Packers were my Super Bowl pick in August. I didn't think they'd waltz in there and beat up Atlanta that bad. Talk about a game that was never in question. That was a complete and total beatdown. Atlanta will regroup and be fine. Good quarterback, run it. They'll get better defense. They got to be more explosive offensively. But they like close games. But once you extend the lead on them, that's not a great football team. Good football team. Not a bunch of self-promoters. And like I said, they've kind of gone as a 13-3 team going into the playoffs, kind of relatively in a one number one seed, for pretty relatively unnoticed all season long as far as the national talk. But it was validated yesterday as far as people not putting them too high on a pedestal because they took it right in the – they got kicked in the teeth. Kicked in the teeth. And it wasn't yesterday. It was Saturday, obviously. And it's no shock to me how good Aaron Rodgers is, but I don't care if you're a Viking or Bears fan and you hate the Packers and you hate Aaron Rodgers or you just don't like Aaron Rodgers, this is not a good football player, folks. This is a great football player who got completely ripped off come Pro Bowl time. He should not only be playing in the Pro Bowl, but I can make the case that he should be the starter in the Pro Bowl and he didn't even make the team. But he's letting everybody know just how good he is. What, 31 of 36 for almost 400 yards? Touchdowns and runs, three touchdowns, runs one in, protects the football. This is a special and unique talent in this league. Combines great feet with a great mind, great competitiveness. He's got thick skin when it came to the Brett Favre thing, was able to, again, not getting drafted, and took care of that. Great feet, great arm, accurate arm, and a mental toughness that only the good ones in this league have. And he's not good, he's great. I know some people say you can't. I don't use the word great very often. You can't label somebody great until they win a Super Bowl. Well, considering the fact of all the injuries they've had and what they've overcome, Aaron Rodgers is a great football player. And of the four quarterbacks left in these playoffs, he's the best. with Ben Roethlisberger hanging right there. Those two are the best. Cutler's the biggest arm, no question. Sanchez is the biggest, you know, question mark with the most explosive skills. Sanchez got explosive skills, but he did enough in this game, made some great throws. Sanchez is talented. He's the unanswered, he's the question. Cutler's the arm. Roethlisberger's the just get it done somehow, not look pretty doing it, but find a way and a winner. And Aaron Rodgers, is you got all those skills combined with a guy who's on the cusp of being a top three or four quarterback in this league in the next year or so. Some would put him there now. But he's charging on Manning and Brady and Breeze, I can assure you of that. Phillip Rivers, Roethlisberger. There's no question, and you shape it any way you want, who the six best quarterbacks in this league are. Not judging the playoffs and what went on, and Brady did not play well yesterday. The Jets had him figured out as much as I guess you can. Pressured him, hit him in the mouth, knocked him to the ground, bloodied his nose, kicked him around. That was big. Manning, obviously, is Peyton Manning, but he got beat, these same Jets. Boy, they beat two good quarterbacks. Breeze did not have his best season, but a good player. Obviously, a great player. Super Bowl ring. Phillip Rivers. And then Roethlisberger and Rodgers. Those are your six best quarterbacks in this league today. But the shocker was Atlanta just didn't show up. And give credit to Green Bay because they were relentless. And you hang, what, 48 on the number one seed? Come on now. That's why I said had the Packers not been hurt, I believe they would have been the number one seed throughout the season. I believe they would have had the best record in the NFL had they been able to be healthy all year long. That being said, we got that black and blue, old black and blue division, Norris division, the NFC Central, the NFC North, all the changes and the nicknames we call it. Well, now we got it. You got the NFC North, the Bears and the Packers, an unbelievable rivalry. And, you know, it's been since like 1941 or something that they've played each other in the playoffs. Can you believe that? That's hard to fathom. But they're about to get it on now. All the talk, all the nonsense, they're about to get it on now. Neither team will do a lot of chatter this week. Both of them will just show up and play hard. And it will come down to one of those who makes a play, and inevitably it comes down to that position that both these quarterbacks, Cutler and Rodgers, played their ass off this weekend. So credit to the Bears. Credit to the Packers. The question is, I think, we're going to be talking about the quarterback and, you know, can Forte, you know, run the football? Can Starks and that game Jackson run the football? We'll be talking about all that, special teams, kickers. But I'll tell you what's going to happen. I think, do the stars on defense rise up and stop these talented quarterbacks, the Peppers and Urlachers, Tommy Harris and Woodson? Clay Matthews. I mean, those are the ones I want to say. They're going to have to be the star of the game because I think both quarterbacks are so gifted. And there's no question in, I think, anybody's mind how you got to stop both teams. Normally, teams say stop the run. Forte had a wonderful year running the football, 1,069 yards or something. But the truth of the matter is both these defense behind closed doors in private, yeah, well, we got to stop the run. But more importantly, we got to stop the quarterback. Both teams have to stop the quarterback from having one of those days that they had this weekend. Because if they both have the day they had this weekend, we're in for one hell of a shootout. We're coming back. It's Voice America Sports. It's 888-346-9144. I'm Sean Salisbury. We're unfiltered. We're taking your calls. What a great weekend of football and some disappointments that go along with it. Baltimore Ravens, you know how you spell choke. It's R-A-V-E-N-S. They gave that one away. But Pittsburgh took it. That's why Pittsburgh wins Super Bowls. Be right back.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
The Sports Maverick Show redefines the elite athlete by bridging the gap between parents, athletes, and the community. Host Ida Moyer, a.k.a. the Oprah of sports, brings to the Voice America Network original programming, balancing the pursuit of academic excellence and sports participation. The Sports Maverick Show airs every Tuesday evening at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Voice America Sports Channel. Listeners will be engaged in straightforward talk, spontaneous and unscripted by the experts. Ida and her guests will explore the challenges of success and failure in sports and will help athletes and their parents navigate the transition from high school, college, and then on to the pros. We put fun back into sports and recognize role models in sports through our Sports Mavericks All-Star Award program. Tune in Tuesday evenings at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time with Ida Mouyeh and the Sports Mavericks Show right here on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Listen to Sports Talk at the Positive Pub every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Sports Channel. Gil Tyree talks to sports newsmakers, playmakers, and story breakers. You, the hardcore, interactive, and novice fan, can join the show via your phone calls and emails. Sample what's good, right, and positive about the world of sports every week. Begin your week in a positive way with Sports Talk from the Positive Pub. Be here every Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Get ready to talk sports with someone who definitely has an opinion, but respects yours as well. The beginning of every week is Crunch Time with Keenan Howery. We'll talk about what happened this weekend and what to look forward to next weekend. Keenan and his guests are ready to discuss the issues with you about football and sports in general. It's Crunch Time with Keenan Howery. Every Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel. And make your voice heard.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
You're locked in to Sean Salisbury, unfiltered, on the Voice America Sports Channel. To make your voice heard, call in to 888-346-9144. That's 888-346-9144. Or send an email to SeanSauls at gmail.com. That's SEANSALS at gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back. We'll be here till 12 Eastern, 11 Central, 9 o'clock on the West Coast. And I guess we have mountain time, so 8 there too. What's that, in Arizona time? Somewhere in there, they don't change when it comes to daylight savings time. So we're out here for two hours talking sports. And, you know, like I said, Cutler stepped his game up for me. And he has. And he's taken a Chicago team that I thought was a soft division. And when I say soft, I don't mean soft as far as the way they play. I thought it was, I wasn't sold on them. I thought that they could be eliminated early in the playoffs. Well, you know what? They answered that. I think they're fortunate that they got Seattle instead of New Orleans playing their best football. I do. But I also know that New Orleans didn't play good enough football to advance, and Chicago took care of their business. And now they got home field playing against the Packers in a great rivalry game. Moving forward, one game away from being in Arlington, Texas for the Super Bowl. Now in the AFC, two games that were incredible jobs of adjustments and coaching pre-halftime and during the game by some teams, and some poor jobs by some other teams. And I got asked this question on Facebook. Why is it that the Steelers have the Ravens number and the Ravens can't get them when it comes to certain games like that? And I'm going to tell you, it comes down to this, folks. The Pittsburgh Steelers believe they're going to make every play. And Roethlisberger is a bigger playmaker than Flacco. He just is. Now, they talked it and talked it and talked it. Suggs talked it and Suggs backed it up. Suggs talked it and Suggs backed it up. And first thing I thought when Flozell Adams went to the sidelines, as he, you know, Suggs was working both sides of the field, when Flozell Adams went to the sidelines and said he'd come down with an illness, and the first thing I thought was, yeah, that illness is Terrell Suggs. That'll make you get sick real quick, having to block that dude. But he talked it. But you know what? Some guys just step their game up when it's right, and Suggs is one of those guys. He's just one hell of a football player. But it wasn't enough because Joe Flacco, I'm waiting for Flacco to take the next step. And I said at the beginning of the year that if Flacco takes the next step and makes the same quantum leaps that Aaron Rodgers made from 2 years ago to last year and last year to this year, that Flacco could be on that same pace. And you know what? He made some good stuff early, but wasn't able to hold on. Choked it up, made some bad decisions, and did not play well. Did not play well. Roethlisberger, whether he struggles or not, and I don't care if you hate him or not, and all the comments you read about him and what he's done, and I don't condone him, obviously. He's made mistakes, and, you know, you hear all the snide remarks about him and his off-the-field stuff. Bottom line is, you could tell you, I don't care how you slice it or what you call him, Ben Roethlisberger is a damn football playmaking Jesse, okay? You can call it whatever you want. His ass wins, what, 2 Super Bowls in his career already, is a game away from being in another one. They're getting their butt handed to them by the Baltimore Ravens. I'm talking about a humiliating ass-kicking, and they all of a sudden say, nope, not going to be like that. They start hitting. They start running. Ben starts making plays. The Baltimore Ravens start turning it over. They can't tackle anybody. They can't stop anybody. And you could say all you want and say blame it on the offense, but the defense didn't exactly step up their game when it was time to stop Pittsburgh in certain situations. At times, Baltimore looked a little long in the tooth. I love that football team. I love the way they play. I love Ray and Ed Reed. And so, I mean, they make plays. But the Pittsburgh Steelers just keep on, they keep at your throat. And the coaching adjustment that Mike Tomlin's football team made, Dick LeBeau, to defend, to make some different, make some plays and get them to lay the ball around and not give up the big plays. Incredible. Absolutely incredible. Because most of us, you know, you thought it was going to be a low-scoring game where both teams are punching each other in the mouth. We all did. We all did. All of us. The issue was that the Pittsburgh Steelers didn't. And that's the difference. The Pittsburgh Steelers didn't believe that they were done, and they fixed it in a huge way. I mean, monster way. They went out there and they played great football when it mattered. And they not for one second, let that thing go. Even though they were getting hammered early, they took care of their business late. And it comes down to being able to be a pressure guy when pressure's on. And the Pittsburgh Steelers are a better pressure team than the Baltimore Ravens. Ravens fans, it stinks, because I had them at the beginning of the year going to the Super Bowl as well. I did. Had them going to the Super Bowl as well. And I figured that they'd get there. And the biggest point of the game was, here's a great defense. I mean, they were physical enough. Flacco taking his game. They can run it. They can do it all. Here's the biggest problem. And I don't understand how this happens when we talk about adjustments. I just don't get it. I don't know what players think about. I don't know. I don't know what's on their mind. I really don't. I have no idea what's on their mind. It's 3rd and 19. Game's tied at 24. 3rd and 19. You throw a deep ball down the right sideline for a 58-yard gain. Leads to a 31-24 victory. Now, I can tell you this. I don't care if you're playing in the Lingerie League. I don't care if you're playing in the 6th grade Swickley, Pennsylvania League. I don't care if you're playing across the street with your buddies. If it's 3rd and 19, there's one rule, and it's don't let anybody get behind you. And make sure that you tackle everybody in front of you. Now, will somebody please tell me how a supposed hardcore stud defense allows on 3rd and 19 a guy to run right by you down the sidelines for a big play? And his name wasn't Mike Wallace, Antonio Brown. The ball pinned against his, you know, against the top of his shoulder pad and helmet, made the play. But how does that happen? How do you let that happen? You, instead of forcing Pittsburgh, you know, give them a, you know, blitz them, play too deep behind it, play zone blitz them. Don't put your corners on an island. And if you are a corner that's putting man coverage because you want to blitz and force them to throw hot and catch and tackle and punt, how the hell are you letting somebody get behind you at 3rd and 19? And I didn't want to hear the answer. It was just a mistake. Of course it was a mistake. A mistake you can't make. Remember I said you point to a handful of plays in the game, but there's always one that you say, oh, gosh, that was a turning point. And there's turning points in every game. Turning points in every game. Third and 19, late in the game, when all you got to do is keep it in front of you and make them punt. And we're looking at overtime. We're giving Flacco a chance to see if he can play some Ben Roethlisberger and bring him down the field. You let him get behind you on third and 19, you're not worthy of going to the Super Bowl. Sorry. And please don't tell me you're the best defense in the world when on third and 19 you let a guy run by you. That's just dumb football. Pittsburgh made the adjustments. Baltimore didn't. Like I said, I picked the Ravens and the Packers back in August. As it was going along, I didn't think the Ravens were going to get there. I mean, I still picked them, but I thought the Patriots were the best team in football. We'll get to the Jets-Patriots game. But how in the hell do you let on third and 19 happen? Please don't tell me it's just the coach's fault, because even if they call man coverage, if you're a defensive back and you let a guy run behind you on third and 19, you'll have a seat right next to me the rest of the time on the sidelines. Awful, awful, awful mistake. Horrendous. And it backfired in a 31-24 high-scoring game, and those high-scoring games are going to favor Pittsburgh because this is not your dad's Pittsburgh Steelers, folks. Trap them, physical, run it, play defense, and beat you 13-3. So, are they capable of it? You bet they are. This is a throw it, hit you in the mouth, mix in the run, put the ball in the hands of my quarterback. We don't trap as much as we used to at Pittsburgh. We pound you. Defensively, we'll keep coming at you and keep coming at you and keep coming at you. And at some point, you'll break. We got Dick LeBeau, a defensive coordinator who knows it is the best zone blitz guy in the league. We'll pressure you, and we'll keep coming, and we'll keep coming. And we can play in a shootout. And they got a shootout, and they won it. And it comes down to this. Ben Roethlisberger is a better player than Joe Flacco is. Real simple. So we can keep beating Ben Roethlisberger up about what he's done off the field, but it sure as hell, it will sure as hell he sure as hell knows how to respond, doesn't he? He just keeps on coming at you. For a guy who missed the first month of the season, Not a bad way to come back from it. And I just try to keep things limited to the field. And he, as far as respect, when he was stripped of being a captain, if we go back, remember now, they took his captaincy. They did not vote him team captain in Pittsburgh this year. So guess what? He's had to earn the respect of his teammates back, and I think he's done it. All they wanted, and Mike Tomlin said it, put the ball in his hands, and if we're going to snap it, he's got the ball in his hands, we got an opportunity. And I love this way about Ben Roethlisberger and about how Mike Tomlin describes his quarterback. He has a no-blink mentality. And I'm not sure you could teach that, folks. I think great ones have it. I don't think you can teach a guy to have that moxie. I just don't. I don't think Joe Montana was developed it. I think Joe Montana was born with a flair for that. Tom Brady, well, he lost last night. He has that. He has that. But sometimes you get out-schemed and out-played and out-executed, and that's what the Jets did. The great ones had, there's a sense, there's something about them that has a sense of, at no time in the game do they ever believe that they're in trouble. And Roethlisberger at the time told the offensive coordinator Bruce Arians, who wanted to run 15-yard comebacks, said, hey, let's just send them all deep and chuck it up there, and if they intercept, it'll be way back down there, just as good as a punt. Then wanted to take a chance. And you know, a lot of times when you take those chances, what happens? You get pass interference. Some good things happen. And if you don't know about Roethlisberger's impact on his team, he's beat Baltimore 7 times in a row. The Steelers are 0-3 against Baltimore without him in that span. Ben's beat. He's 7-0 in his last seven starts against Baltimore. So why don't you tell me now, when they're there, that answers the question. What's the difference between Baltimore and Pittsburgh? It's not middle linebackers. It's not Lamar Woodley or James Harrison on the outside. It's not, you know, Helody Nada on the inside or Ray Lewis. It's not Ed Reed or Troy Polamalu. Those are all, those are your six and one, half dozen in the other. You could flip-flop uniforms, put a different wrapper on them, and James Harrison would be making plays for Baltimore. Suggs would be making plays where Harrison is. If you look at it, it's kind of eerie. Good people inside. Wonderful linebacking crew. Secondary that'll hit you. Polamalu, Ed Reed. Good leadership. I mean, everywhere you look. James Ferrier, Ray Lewis. McFadden, Ray Rice. I mean, not McFadden, excuse me. With Ray Rice running the football. Mendenhall. McFadden's obviously in Oakland. Darren McFadden. Rashard Mendenhall running the football for Pittsburgh. Ray Rice. I mean, guys that'll pound it in there. Ray Rice. How many times he hadn't laid the ball on the ground in 400-plus carries? Laid it on the ground once. But Baltimore was able to hang in there and overcome it until the end. So you look at the similarities in the team. Good running backs, wide receivers, Anquan Boldin. You look at Hines Ward. Both guys can run after the catch. Guys will hit you, be physical. But when the game's on the line, Mike Wallace makes a play. When the game was on the line, Antonio Brown made the catch. When the game was on the line, T.J. Houshmandzadeh laid it on the ground. Ball hit him in the hands. First down, boom, ball game over. Ball, clean catch, dropped it. And he's been begging for the ball all year long. And T.J.'s a good player. He flat-ass laid it on the ground. But all these different comparisons, speed, not speed, this guy, that guy, it comes down to one position. And Joe Flacco's a good player. Ben Roethlisberger's better. Give me any cliche you want. Ice in his veins. He's cool as a cucumber. I don't care how you describe him. The guy, Mike Tomlin said it perfect. There's a no-blink mentality with Ben Roethlisberger where he never feels like it's too much to overcome. And the Pittsburgh Steelers are moving on, and the New York Jets are going to have themselves. The New York Jets better. Now, they lost a lot of mental adrenaline and going on, and Rex Ryan will talk it up this week again. You know how Rex is. They talk it because they believe it. I do believe that now. I believe they talk it because they actually believe what they talk. And Darrell Revis is the best corner I've seen coming into the league maybe since Rod Woodson. And Woody was a great player, played against him a lot of times from Pittsburgh, moved to safety. He's an all-decade, all, you know, half the quarter-century team or whatever, 25th anniversary, however many teams Rod Woodson's made. I'm going to tell you what, it's just a pure corner. And Woodson's, the ability of Rod to blitz off the edge was, you know, it was really, really good. Charles Woodson, I mean, Woodson and well, both Woodsons, Charles and Rod, are two of the best corner blitzers we've ever had in this league. Rondé Barber's been good at it, too. And playing against Rod and seeing it. But I'm going to tell you what, when it comes to cover corners and understanding concepts of routes and physicality and Rex Ryan said he's never seen anybody like this guy, Revis, and I don't disagree. I haven't seen a better corner than him, and I maybe ever. I've played with some great ones and played against some great ones. Revis is that guy. He's that good. So we're going to see an unbelievable physical battle next week. I think you probably got to favor Pittsburgh at home with Ben Roethlisberger at quarterback, but the Jets are going to have to find a way to get over this emotion of beating Belichick and the Patriots and find a way to regroup themselves and go in and be ready for a physical contest because it's not a faint of heart game, folks. And this will be a no-blink mentality game. We'll talk about the Patriots and Jets. Roethlisberger was special. The biggest mistake of the weekend is 3rd and 19, letting a guy run by you when you got a score tied and there's 2 minutes to go in the game. Monumental mistake for the Baltimore Ravens, and it cost them. We'll be back. Great play by Ben and Brown also. This is Voice America Sports. We're unfiltered. Give us a call, 888-346-9144. We'll be back here in just a couple minutes.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
It's all Arizona.
all over the world.
If you're a local Arizona high school sports fan, or if you're a transplanted fan somewhere else in the world, have we got a show for you. The first internet sports radio talk show focusing solely on high school sports is The Coach's Corner with Scott Lovely. Tune in to talk about your favorite teams, players, or coaches. It's 100% Arizona high school sports coverage and a little bit more. Tune in Mondays at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern, to the Voice America Sports Channel.
Are you a real sports fan? Get ready to talk football and anything else sports with Kwame Lassiter, formerly with the Arizona Cardinals, San Diego Chargers, and St. Louis Rams. Kwame's got the experience, so he's prepared to talk sports with you every week on Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk. It's on the Voice America Sports Network every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, noon Eastern Time. Get ready for unpredictable fun and sometimes a sarcastic look at the world of sports. That's Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk on the Voice America Sports Network.
Get ready to go inside the minds and behind the scenes with the top professional athletes, celebrities, and music entertainers. It's a sports show like no other. Keeping it real. Keeping it real with former NFL wide receiver Jairus McIntyre is real talk with in-depth interviews, topical discussions, and a whole lot of comedy. You'll hear from the entertainers, the athletes, and the fans. Keeping it real. Keeping it real with Jairus McIntyre is broadcast live every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 a.m. Pacific Time, on the Voice America Sports Channel. The IS Outdoors Talk Radio Show brings two well-known outdoorsmen to the Voice America Network. We talk about everything from new sporting gear, places to hunt and fish, and how to get more from your recreation time. Join hosts Brock Ray and Don Kirk with their combined experience of 60 years in the woods. Brock and Don have traveled widely, creating TV shows and writing articles on hunting and fishing. Blessed with down-home humor, they're also well-versed in environmental concerns, firearms ownership, and animal rights issues. Tune in every Thursday morning at 9 a.m. Pacific Time to IS Outdoors with Brock Ray and Don Kirk, right here on the Voice America Sports Channel.
The opening kickoff is a beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field. Back goes O'Neal. He's at the
shot.
Got it with 2.8 seconds left
to left. I don't care where they put him. This one is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything.
Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
Locked in to Sean Salisbury, unfiltered, on the Voice America Sports Channel. To make your voice heard, call in to 888-346-9144. That's 888-346-9144. Or send an email to SeanSals@gmail.com. That's SeanSals@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
Well, when we talk about that, so the Steelers, you know, as you go in, I mean, early week advantage, do you take the home team? Do you take the hot quarterback? Well, Chicago's got both, but Green Bay, boy, are they good. Man, are they good, and they're in rhythm. Both of those teams are. The Jets, Steelers, just they're the Steelers, folks. They know how to win, and Cowboy fans hate it because the Steelers keep chalking up Super Bowl rings while the Cowboys are still in that chase mode over, you know, who's got more. We know who's got more, and Pittsburgh's in position to go get another. In the other game, the Jets and the Patriots, folks, you know what? There isn't one thing. I was shocked at how inefficient the Patriots' offense was, except for they got in certain spurts. They were streaky. Hot, hot, hot. I didn't like the tempo of the Patriots. I think that was the shocking thing. This is a team that lines up, and the times that they did line up and play fast, they move the football. They didn't protect their quarterback. They didn't make big plays. I actually read where somebody said, well, see, maybe they needed that deep threat, and I think insinuating that they should have had Randy Moss, which is complete bullshit. This team's been dynamic and devastating all year long since Moss has been gone. They didn't need Moss in that game. He wouldn't have made any difference in that game because Revis would have taken him and Cromartie would have taken him and shut him down other than a few plays. Sorry to tell you, but Moss wouldn't have made a difference in this game. They've been plenty good without him. But you know when your quarterback's getting hit early, what did I tell you? That you can't leave this quarterback standing upright or he'll kill you. and the Jets didn't leave him standing upright. Blitzed when they needed to blitz, got pressure without blitzing, got pressure with blitzing, didn't give up huge plays for the most part. Tight ends made a couple huge plays. They defended, and they kept hitting Brady and pressuring him, got him out of rhythm, didn't let them play fast, didn't let them get into that constant rhythm. In the times that they did, the Patriots moved the ball. But Rex Ryan was genius. He said he wanted to be the best coach on Sunday, and he was. Bill Belichick goes down as one of the great coaches of all time. I mean, he is, and you put him in there, and Rex Ryan even acknowledged that before the game. But the best coach and the best game plan, the best adjustments on Sunday were all Jets, and they didn't have to make adjustments during the game. They took care of their business before the game and were completely ready as the game went on. Completely ready. Handled all of it. Handled it offensively, where they did enough on their side of the ball to win. Converted third downs with some really good plays. Had people make an extra effort. Braylon Edwards getting into the end zone. They just made some hellified plays. It's real simple. They defended better. They played better offense. Every part of their game was better. And they were, and the Jets outcoached the Patriots too. And they didn't let Tom Brady stand there and just keep delivering the ball. See, what you have to understand, even the best of quarterbacks are the most gifted ones. Brady, Montana, you go in time, any of them that you love, Aikman, don't care who it is that you love, Favre, when you hit them, they wilt. When I say wilt, doesn't mean they go away and wilt and cower in the corner. All those guys I named will stand in there as tough as hell. But when you hit a guy long enough, what begins to happen? Ball comes out a little quicker. Ball comes out quicker. Timing's off. Player doesn't get his head around. Quarterback releases it earlier than he wants to. Quarterback holds on to it later than he wants to or needs to because he's waiting for things to come open. And when they do come open, boom. It's just a little bit too late because somebody's got there. And you can't hold the ball that long against a Rex Ryan football team. And there was a couple plays, and I said going into Friday that very few players and teams can ever hold a guy, you know, when he's got all kinds of time to throw 4 and 5 second routes and eventually not come open. Now, a couple times the protection was great, and Brady held it and held it and held it and delivered the ball, and the guy did come open. But there was a few plays in this game, more than a few, a handful, where Brady had all the time in the world, and it was a coverage sack or coverage pressure where they just – there was nobody to throw it to. 4 and 5 guys out in the route, and they, you know, you're talking about 5, 6, 7 seconds. One play in particular where it kept going on and on and on, and Brady still couldn't find a receiver open. So when the pressure was there, the Jets put it on him, and then the Patriots couldn't react. And then the other side of it, when there wasn't any pass rush, the secondary and the linebackers and coverage were special. I didn't believe the Patriots would lose this game. Most of us didn't. Jets fans wanted it to happen, but I think most, you know, analysts that pick games, I mean, it was pretty much through and through that the Patriots were the overwhelming pick by most to not only go this way but to get in the Super Bowl. That's why we got to play them. Paper champions don't mean squat. 888-346-9144 here on Voice America Sports. I'm Sean Salisbury. We are unfiltered. So you can call it whatever you want. In all these games, Bears, Seahawks, the more talented, better team won. The Seahawks did not belong on the field with the Chicago Bears in the game. They belong there because they earned it the week before. But you know, these two teams could play 10 times. And while the Seahawks beat them 1 point early in the season, they're not going to beat them many times. Green Bay is just a better team than Atlanta with a better when your quarterback's that good as Matt Ryan is, and he's going to the Pro Bowl. I think Aaron Rodgers sent the message who the best quarterback on the field was that game. Folks, what do you live with 5 balls on the ground the whole game? That borders on nonsense. Listen to Aaron Rodgers' line again. It's not like Matt Ryan threw 2 picks. He was 20 of 29, but the 2 picks killed him. Rodgers 31 of 36 for 366, no picks, 3 TDs, and ran one in. you don't get better performance than that. Matt Hasselbeck's performance the first game was good, but it still wasn't Aaron Rodgers good against the number one seed on the road. Packers are a better team than Atlanta, and it's obvious. The Pittsburgh Steelers, more playmakers and better all-around team than the Baltimore Ravens. But more importantly, the quarterback's got a non-blink mentality, which is, unfortunately, I saw Joe Flacco blink in the football game, as did Pittsburgh. Doesn't mean Joe can't be good. Joe's not great. Joe's good. He's not an elite quarterback yet. And the Jets and Patriots, the Jets talk it, walk it, out-coached them, out-executed them, out-performed them, and out-believed them. The Jets believe they could win the game. I think the Patriots expected to win the game. The Jets, well, I don't know if want it more is the right way, but they sure as heck executed better on the road. And I'm telling you, folks, at times being on the road can be an advantage. Because when you're at home, you're in the ticket business, and you got to make sure your friends are happy, and family wants this and that, and, you know, you got to make sure you're at home. And if you have children, you really got to, I mean, your routine, while it's a great routine, there can be distractions. And while family, I wouldn't call a distraction, they still have needs, and you have to still be a dad if you're married with children or you got a wife or what. There's still all that in the community and everybody. I mean, you don't get a chance to just get away and just concentrate on football. That's why the road team, a lot of times, I think Green Bay loves this. While the Packer fans are wonderful and great, and they wish they were at home, but they've gone into two really tough buildings and put it on both teams in Philly and Atlanta. So I think they kind of relish this. We've seen Steelers do it when they ran a Super Bowl run a handful of years ago where they did the same thing, had to win a bunch of games to get in the playoffs. So Green Bay's been on single elimination 2 or 3 weeks before the playoffs ended. I mean, started. 2 or 3 weeks before the season ended is what I meant. They had to play single elimination football for quite some time now. So this is now, they've not only played two playoff games, they've played 3 or 4 playoff games. Happen to win games, you know, last game of the season, have to win, beat the Bears. I mean, they've had to play this, got to take care of our business, and that's what they've done. So I think the distraction of being at home can sometimes be a disadvantage. Now, you want your fans, you want the noise. I'm talking about the 6 days leading up to the game. That's the hard part. So you've got to guard against it. That's not easy to do. But to go on the road and win in hostile environments is a difficult task. But you prepare the 6 days leading up to it. You know, you're at home for a little bit, but then you go on the road. Your mindset changes while you're practicing at home. Your mindset changes as we get close. It's like Super Bowl week. The biggest distraction is fans and appearances and, you know, or even you're not making appearances, but fans and, you know, going out at night for the first part of the week and knowing to put curfew on, all those things, and the distraction, interviews, all those things that go on with the two Super Bowl teams. The team that deals with distractions has an advantage. And going on the road can be a distraction, just like being at home can, because you don't know if the team plane's going to be on time. You don't know if it's going to be bad weather. You don't know if the hotel, I mean, you never know. But the team that can deal with that, and apparently the Green Bay Packers have no problem with that. They go on the road to Philly, you know what kind of weather you're going to get. Go to Atlanta. There's been some bad weather in Atlanta. Fortunately, during the game, you don't have to mess with that. But there's been bad weather in Atlanta also this past week. So you don't know if your flight's going to be delayed, but you got to deal with distractions. You still got to play the game. So going on the road can be great because 6 days a week you're at home. But you know in your mind, your mindset is, I don't have to worry about tickets. I'm going on the road, so I don't have to mess with any of this. So you almost have a rally around each other mentality. At home, even the day before the game, even the morning of the game, there's still people that are trying to contact you if you don't shut your phone off. Oh, you got two more? You got two more tickets? Oh, honey, you know the baby's not feeling well this morning. And you just those things that are on your mind. On the road, I can't do anything about it, man. I'm getting ready for a football game. I can't help you. I can't run to the store and get milk. I can't get you two more tickets. Don't underestimate those things. So your coaching staff has to do a great job of not only preparing you to go on the road X's and O's wise and how to deal with crowd noise, but they got to prepare you to go on the road and how to deal with the distractions that may hit along the way. And the home team has to be able to deal with, in Chicago this week, for instance, crazed sports town, going nuts, on fire, a game away from the Super Bowl, playing their rival. Chicago is a big city, far bigger than Green Bay. The one with the Green Bay advantage is they got less people to deal with when it comes to, you know, when it comes to all the distractions. And no offense, but the Holiday Inn in downtown Appleton isn't exactly Michigan Avenue, Miracle Mile, Rush Street. There are distractions. And the human nature says is Packers players are going to go celebrate a little bit in Green Bay. And that's not a knock on Green Bay, but let's face facts. It's like saying, you know, Los Angeles, California, or Plano, Texas. There's bigger distractions depending on where you are and what city you're in. So leading up to it now, all the distractions, and these two teams in particular, it's going to be amazing. And you know what? Pittsburgh and the Jets, think about this. New York, interview requests, all the things they got to deal with. The key is for all four of these coaches to make sure that they keep routine. Don't try to, a lot of times coaches say, we got to change this. All of a sudden, we've had all this success, got to change it. But the smart ones that are creatures of habit will allow these players to do what they do and just to have them prepare the way they prepare. But as a player, you have to be extra strong because right now, hey, we're in the Final Four. Maybe we can go hang out a little longer. Maybe the guy may not rest as much on a Thursday night as he would normally because it's all the stuff going on, and it's an opportunity to make money. Extra money for these players. And you say, well, they got plenty. Well, you know what? The mentality of all of us is enough's never enough. So maybe somebody will ask a quarterback to go make an appearance on a Thursday night in Chicago. Well, maybe Cutler goes and makes $20,000 to go give a talk to somebody, which is not normally his Thursday routine. So how they can keep it in their routine and not get caught up in all the nonsense, because there will be nonsense. And when I say nonsense, just crazed sports town in Chicago. Now, in Green Bay, like I said, far smaller town, not as much to do. You can get in trouble or you can lose focus anywhere. But I think it's probably a little easier to keep your focus nightlife-wise and that, even though that every person in town in Green Bay, while it's not as big as Chicago, it's every person in town is a football fan. That's the only game in town, so you become even a bigger celebrity. And the only reason I'm bringing this up is because the advantage of home and road, how you deal with it. So it's the 6 days leading up to the game that really is the thing, the preparation, the amount of study you put in, what you're doing at home to get your rest, is your family feeling well, how are your kids in school, you know, if you're single, to be able to know when to get in and get some rest as opposed to being out on the town, all these things that you got to keep your same routine and not get caught up in this hype that's going on because you're a game away from the Super Bowl, and when you're a game away from the Super Bowl, everybody in the world wants a piece of you. We all want to interview you. The girls all want to see you. The companies all want you to talk to them. Every sign you see, every place you go, every restaurant you go in. So how do you do it? Pittsburgh, the Jets, how do you deal with the distractions? Well, Pittsburgh's been down this road many a time. The Jets, with some of the young players, you know, got to the AFC Championship game last year, 2 years in a row, which ought to tell you just how good Rex Ryan is. And it won't be long before Brian Schottenheimer's offered a head coaching job, their offensive coordinator, because they know how to manage things and lead people, and they're doing a good job of it. But Pittsburgh and the Jets the same way. The Jets, these distractions, both these teams have been deep into playoffs, and obviously the Steelers have won Super Bowls. Been a long time for the Jets. So I'm always interested in little sidebars that aren't the obvious. And people won't give much thought to the week leading up to the game other than the X's and O's. But I assure you, there's other things that go on that take you away from the things that you normally would do. The question is, how disciplined are you as a player that can't be babysat because you're a grown man? How disciplined are you to resist the temptation to go to another autograph signing or to go give two more interviews that you wouldn't give the week before because now we're in the NFC Championship game? How smart are you to keep your routine and your preparation? It will show on Sunday. I'm Sean Salisbury. We're Unfiltered. Plenty more football to talk at 888-346-9144. We got an hour in the books. We'll go another hour and make this thing roll. Right here on Voice America Sports.
The opening kickoff is a beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field. Back goes O'Neill. He's at
tough
the
shot.
Got it. With 2.8 seconds left
to left. I don't care where they put him. This one is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything. Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
Spin It with Chuck Foreman has a spin on so much that's going on. It will be hard to fit it all into the promo. We'll talk about the weekend games, what to look forward to, hot topics in the news. Spin It old school, which gives a back-in-the-day approach from Chuck. A no-spin zone where Chuck gives an unbiased opinion and lets you do the same. Chuck will be taking us around town and around the world with news, happenings, and more. It's football, news, and happenings. Tune in for Spin It with Chuck Foreman, Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Are you a real sports fan? Get ready to talk football and anything else sports with Kwame Lassiter. Formerly with the Arizona Cardinals, San Diego Chargers, and St. Louis Rams. Kwame's got the experience, so he's prepared to talk sports with you. Every week on Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk. It's on the Voice America Sports Network every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, noon Eastern Time. Get ready for unpredictable fun and sometimes a sarcastic look at the world of sports. That's Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk on the Voice America Sports Network.
Don't miss the show that gives you exclusive access to your favorite pro athletes off the field and in our communities. Join host Nick Murphy for Heroes Radio. Hear it directly from the source as we take you behind the scenes with your favorite stars. It's sports, community, entertainment, and fun. And it's all part of Heroes Radio. Tune in Friday afternoons at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 p.m. Pacific, only on the Voice America Sports Channel.
You already get the general sports headlines and discussion on TV and radio. Tune in to The Blueprint with Randall Gatewood. Yeah, we'll cover all the general big name stuff too, but we go beyond the typical sports radio show to bring you the details you don't get anywhere else. We'll talk about the inspirational stories and the little known successes. If you want creativity, The Blueprint is the place to be. Tune in every Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
You're locked in to Sean Salisbury Unfiltered on the Voice America Sports Channel. To make your voice heard, call in to 888-346-9144. That's 888-346-9144. Or send an email to seansals@gmail.com. That's seansals@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
And it's, I hope you're enjoying, for those of you that are either out of school or teachers that aren't teaching today or workers that don't have to work and it's a holiday. Hope you're having a good Martin Luther King Day. And to one of the great impact and difference makers in ever in this country, to you we say thanks, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And you go through Facebook, which I've looked at a lot, and it's one of those great days because a lot of motivational. And when you sit there and think about it, the insight and the not only the difference and how he, you know, Martin Luther King trying to bring races together and trying to make sure that, you know, we weren't separated by that, and such a smart forward thinker and difference maker. But you go through and you look at all the quotes that people on this Martin Luther King Day, whether it's the I Have a Dream speech, whether it's just I'm amazed at how much insight that Martin Luther King had. And now you know it, but when you sit there and you look and there's 50 different quotes that are difference makers, yeah, I'm always amazed. And we talk about great quarterbacks being born with that ability not to blink and to take care of their business. I think it is also for great leaders in life. And it doesn't matter if you're black or white on this day. It really doesn't. Or any other race. It really doesn't matter. Because we got a lot to be grateful for this man who was an incredible difference maker. And the people who are tired and want to sleep in saying, you know, love him for the holiday. But what a difference maker, and some of the great, great quotes that you'll ever read were from Martin Luther King. Awesome. And there's so many of them. And here's one. If a man is called to be a street sweeper, he should sweep streets as Michelangelo painted, or Beethoven composed music, or Shakespeare wrote poetry. He should sweep streets so well that all the hosts of heaven and earth will pause to say, here lived a great street sweeper who did his job well. And you know what? Some of us may laugh at it, but you know what? There are people out there who sweep streets and clean trash and clean toilets. It's not a job above or below any of us. In this economy, it's not a job below any of us. But I have an amazing, I love that quote because, you know what? Whether you come from a blue-collar family or you had a silver spoon in your mouth growing up, you can use many of Martin Luther, MLK's, you know, Martin Luther King's quotes in sports and life to apply to your own life, the way you raise children, the way you look at society, the way you look at race. But when you talk about that in very simple message and just in whatever you do, do it the best you can. Be the Michelangelo of street sweepers, or be the Michelangelo of, you know, construction workers, or whatever it is you do. And in this day and age, you may do 7 or 8 different things in your career. From an athlete to a broadcaster to you never know. Whether it's insurance, whether it's construction, whether it's janitorial, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. All he's saying is make it the best. And it's pretty much all you can really ask of yourself and the people around you. Just do it the best. And I think that, you know, Martin Luther King, it would seem to me, and judging from everything, and obviously don't know the man other than you feel like you do because of the difference he made in the history and what we read and things we've seen and listen to people who do know him and have known him, should I say, did know him, of what kind of man he was and what he stood for, is the impact that he made. And, you know, it would seem to me that he'd be the type of guy that, as he goes through his struggles during the day, that he would always, this is just how I picture him, is that he would just be all the guy that at some point during his day, or many times during his day, would kind of stop and sit back, and even when he was struggling, to make sure the person next to him wasn't. And I think that's a sign of a really good person. That while you may be struggling or having a shitty day, having bad thoughts, or, you know, feel like, oh my gosh, when's this going to stop? Or even if you're having a good day, it's where when we're having good days, we kind of get caught up in ourselves and say, it's all about me. I'm having a good day. I don't want anybody to ruin it. No drama. It would seem to me that Martin Luther King was more of a, you know what? That person probably needs a pat on the back or a good kind word over and above what's going on in my day. And I just kind of visualize him like that. And I think the people that were surrounded by him got themselves, were blessed to have him in their life. I believe that. And I think that Martin Luther King probably feels the same way about the people that surrounded his life, whether it was a street sweeper or whether it was a family member. So, you know, doesn't mean you have to go through a full day of reflection, but I think the man deserves a little bit of your thoughts. Aside from the fact that he made it to where you didn't have to go earn a living today, you got to stay home. So happy Martin Luther King Day to everybody out there. You know, did you watch, and we hit sports and we'll hit more and get rolling. Did you watch any of the Golden Globes? I wonder sometimes, and Ricky Gervais is on there, and some people don't think he's funny, some do. I wonder with the sensitivity of, I know how athletes are sensitive, 888-346-9144. And I'm not big on, I don't watch these shows very often. I just don't. I'm not big on him. I don't, you know. Every now and then, like when Halle Berry stepped up there, I was like, oh, shit. Hello. You start to think about the guys that have cheated on her and dropped her, and, you know, you're never behind closed doors and know what goes on in a relationship, but you're sitting there thinking, that woman looks younger than she did. She doesn't age, but she's hot as hell. And you sit there and wonder, how are these guys, is this, you know, former, this male model that was dating her and the David Justice, you start to think, what are you clowns thinking? Are you guys out of your damn mind? I'm talking about on just the physical beauty alone. Don't know about the rest, but, you know, I know girls watch for the gowns and how beautiful they are, and, you know, these women looked spectacular, you know. And I thought it was, Paul Giamatti, who won an award for Best Actor in a motion picture. I thought it was cool, you know, he was Halle Berry'd out. He was so fired up when she, you know, was up there on stage introducing him. Thought he was going to lose it. But, I tuned in last night because I thought, okay, I want to see some of this. I'm going to watch some of this and see what goes on, just for some entertainment value. And I understand now why people do it, but I wonder if how cold Ricky Gervais is, if he actually, if those guys are pissed at him. You know, like when he introduces Robert Downey Jr., who, my goodness, between booze and drugs and going to jail, it's been a hard comeback, but Robert Downey Jr. is back on top. And when he introduced him, you know, he hits harder. Last year when he introduced Mel Gibson, and when he said, I like a drink, but I may like a drink more than anybody other than our next guest or someone, he said, our next presenter, Mel Gibson. So he pulls no punches. I always wonder with the sensitivity, though, of athletes, if that bothers these guys. And when he introduced the guy who was representing or one of the big shots, and I don't even remember what the award was or what he was up there for the award, the foreign people who vote on this stuff. I don't even know what it's called. The foreign, you know, the journalists, foreign journalists or whatever, media, the people who vote. I don't even know what they're called. I'm losing my mind, but he was, you know, we know it's the Academy for the Academy Awards and the Oscar Awards, but I can't remember the foreign film critics or whoever they are. And when he introduced him, he said, oh, yeah, I just got back there, and I had to take the guy's, put the guy's teeth back in and help him on the toilet or whatever he said. And then the guy came out and said, well, Ricky, next time you need me to promote a movie, next time you need to promote for a movie, don't call me. But he didn't smile. So I sat there and wonder if how sensitive, yeah, the foreign press. Thank you, SEC girl. The foreign press is what it's called. That ought to show you how many times I watched this. They only brought up the foreign press about 4,000 times last night. And I can't even remember what the name of it is because you're so caught up in listening to what a guy like Christian Bale is going to say when you got to bleep him out or what, you know, when Robert De Niro, you had to bleep him out. I loved what Robert Downey Jr. said, talking about all those women that, you know, that he didn't get to sleep with. Obviously, the five women who were up for a certain award, which was pretty funny. But you wonder, I wonder how sensitive these guys are. If now this foreign press media guy, who is a critic, will completely obliterate and stay away from Ricky Gervais and not give him any good pub. You wonder. And Robert De Niro, who has been in a few films and was, you know, won the DeMille Award last night for his career in acting, and, you know, some say, as Matt Damon did last night, that, you know, arguably the best actor on the planet, best living actor we have. That being said, when he gets up there, what a pretty cool night, though. De Niro and Pacino both getting awards in the same night. That's pretty damn cool. But when I listen to Robert De Niro, I mean, De Niro could say whatever he wants, and nobody's going to sweat him. Some of them aren't the best speech givers, and some of them say things. And it was obvious that Robert De Niro wasn't a big fan of the foreign press either, and the critics, which is hilarious. But I also was thinking as I was watching that, can you imagine if you're like a young actor or an actress, and you get cast in, or you have to audition with Robert De Niro. After you piss down your leg like four times. I mean, you know, even guys, you know, that are great actors like Robert Downey Jr. And Matt Damon and these guys, I'm sure there's got to be an intimidation factor. There's just got to be. So I wonder if this sensitivity, and we know that the sensitivity of actors and actresses, and they read and hear everything, and I wonder how many of them are sensitive to the criticism or the jokes that Ricky Gervais comes up with. I wonder. And what a good gig. You could sit there and drink while you're hosting the show if you're him. Doesn't care. But, you know, he's done it a couple years in a row, so they must like him. And I think he's one of those acquired tastes. Some like him, some can't stand him. But they all had certain digs, you know, to give back for the most part. So I wonder. And some looked unhappy. Some looked bummed. Some didn't look bummed. And I know it's a bummer if you lose. I mean, here's, you know, Johnny Depp was happy, but he has to compete against himself, gets nominated for two for Best Actor, for two is the Best Actor in two movies, and didn't win either because Paul Giamatti won it, but he seemed happy. But there's also some that just don't look happy. And when somebody's given a speech, just they aren't smiling, they're almost bitter. So I wonder how sensitive they are when one of these guys goes up there and makes a wise-ass comment about them. Or if they can just kind of say, no big deal. I think some are like that. You got to take the comedians for what they're worth. But I think it's pretty funny. Pretty funny. Like Steve Carell and, Tina Fey got up there and they were funny. Just kind of making a mockery of it. And I thought it was great. So I don't watch these things and the dresses and who looks good. Megan Fox looked good and, you know, Robert De Niro made the body scanning comment about her. You know, Halle Berry obviously looked good. I mean, people go out dressed to the nines. But I look forward to the comments, and I think it's hilarious. I think it's hilarious, and how people deal with it. But can you imagine being an actor, and they say, well, you're going to do a movie, you know, a mafia movie, or you're going to do something, and Robert De Niro is the lead, but we need you to audition with him because you're going to be you're going to be a co-star. Or if you're a young actor, you know, like I said, how can you not be intimidated? Now the great, there you go. Do they have the great ones have a no blink mentality? But if you're starting out, you know, like the dude who won for best actor in a comedy or whatever, the guy from The Big Bang Theory, and he did a great job with his speech, but you wonder if a guy like that is. Like if he was cast into a movie role and De Niro was his partner, was in a movie with him, how do these guys respond? You know, in a lesser role, I mean, obviously I've been in a few, and I don't mean that, obviously I'm not the best supporting actor in a comedy role, but I've been around, you know, after Napoleon Dynamite's, you know, John Heater, he was a big shot. He was in Benchwarmers and Schneider and Spade, but Sandler. And you're around these guys and John Lovitz, and you're thinking, I don't know what I'm doing, even on a less on that scale. And Sandler's not an intimidating. He doesn't try to intimidate you, because he's always laughing and smiling on the comedy side. But these guys who are serious are like the Christian Bales, who are so intense. Or when they're into their role, and I know that it's their job and in their career. But man, you kind of wonder how intimidated would you be? How intimidated would you be? It would probably be the same as if. You're a non-athlete, or you're like when I was a rookie and came in the first time I had to get into a huddle, and Steve Largent and Kurt Warner, not the quarterback Kurt Warner, the running back from Penn State, and Kenny Easley, and you're in the huddle for the first time, you're like, oh gosh, you hyperventilate, you can't even say two words because you don't want to screw up. So I guess I would imagine that's kind of the same. But I'm sitting there thinking, and there's a different mentality. When they introduce Al Pacino, as opposed to when they introduce the best supporting actor in a miniseries, or the best supporting actor, or the best actor in a comedy role on TV. While those are great and they're fun, there's almost a reverence or a, oh my gosh, Robert De Niro just walked by, or Al Pacino in the building in the same night. That's some pretty tall stuff. You're like, And can you imagine going into like an audition with them where they're the person you got to read with because they're there, and all of a sudden the intimidation factor makes you sweat. Like I said, pee down your leg where you don't even know how to respond. And I guess that's the same in sports, and I've seen it both, but I just think it'd be cool. Can you imagine sitting down with De Niro and Pacino at the same table and having a rap session with them about their movies and all that they do? And what a great gig it was watching Michael Douglas come out there and the standing ovation he got, his great line of, there's got to be a better way to get a standing ovation. And obviously, for those that have been living in underground or in a bubble, his cancer, the tumor, the throat cancer is gone. And he's healthy when he was in stage 4 at one point. Miracles happen, folks. And to have him come up there and give an award at the end was amazing and got the standing ovation. But, boy, there's some intimidating actors in that building. And, boy, you think the competition isn't great? Whew. Man alive. Competition for who looks the best and competition for who is the best. We get that in sports, too. We'll come back. This is Voice America Sports. We're unfiltered. Well, I'm intimidated by De Niro, and I had never been in the same room as him. Just seeing him on TV with that look and that little smirk out of the side of his mouth, it's enough to make you crap your pants. We'll be right back. It's Voice America Sports.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Hey, did you know Voice America has partnered with the KidStar Network to expand their reach through Voice America Kids? Voice America Kids will feature talk radio for kids, by kids, along with special event programming and live broadcasts. Each program is conveniently archived for on-demand listening at any time. Please check our archives for the latest events and happenings on voiceamericakids.com.
Hey, football fans, are you ready for an intelligent discussion about the Buffalo Bills and the National Football League? Are you tired of listening to talk show hosts that have never played football? Instead of answering your questions, they prefer to listen to themselves. And when they don't like what you're saying, they just cut you off. Well, that won't happen on the Jeff Nixon Sports Report. Keep it clean, stay relatively calm and rational, and the discussion will flow well. Join Jeff Nixon Monday afternoons at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Sports Network.
It's football, pop culture, and everything in between. Get ready for The Game Plan with Anthony Herron, a.k.a. Big Ant. Anthony has a background in college and professional football and brings the player, coach, and broadcaster perspective to this weekly roundup of the top sports news and events. Big Ant wants to hear from you, too. Tune in to The Game Plan with Anthony Herron every Tuesday afternoon at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Sports Channel. It's game time. Do you love sports talk? Can't get enough sports talk? Have we got a show for you? It's about the NFL training camps, Super Bowl previews, a look at the new starting quarterbacks, and weekly key injuries. We'll take your calls and emails right on the air. Former Philadelphia Eagle James Loving is your host, and you never know who'll drop by for a co-host spot or an interview on the spot. Tune in to Loving That Sports Talk with James Loving every Wednesday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
The opening kickoff is a beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field. Back goes O'Neal. He's at
tough
the
shot.
Got it with 2.8 seconds left
to left. I don't care where they put him. This one is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything.
Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
Locked in to Sean Salisbury, unfiltered, on the Voice America Sports Channel. To make your voice heard, call in to 888-346-9144. That's 888-346-9144. Or send an email to SeanSals@gmail.com. That's SeanSals@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
Well, we know Cam Newton and his teammate Fairley are both going to the NFL. I can tell you that Fairley's going to have a bigger impact in the league than Cam Newton is. I do believe that. and I look through major college programs, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21. There's like 21 coaches that new head coaches in major college football programs. And 1, 2, 3, 4 of them are minority, which is something that the college football has been bad at. Well, guess what? They were making strides because 4 of the new major college football coaches are minority. At least we're headed in the right direction. And that's good to mention on this Martin Luther King Day. You know, folks, I don't like to do this because I've been a fan of his. It's not a matter I don't like to do it. Yeah, I like to be honest and the truth. And we've had a slight conversation about this before about, you know, broadcasters and what they bring and don't bring to a game. And it's the game that's the difference. And I got to tell you, it's time for CBS to change their number one team. It just is. 3 out of about 4 or 5 plays in a row, Phil Simms, in their number one team, missed probably, well, there was a sequence of plays. One, excuse me, there was a sequence of plays that we saw. One, the quarterback dropped back, and was it Brady? Yeah, threw it into the ground. Woodhead was right there in front of him. And Phil goes, oh, that's intentional grounding. Completely. And he didn't take a 3-year-old to notice. And Phil's been good, folks. Respect him as a player. I've always respected his opinion. But I've seen him continue to decline in his game. I don't know if it's preparation. I don't know. I don't know. But I know as a fan, forget the fact that I am in the business. As a fan, and I know how tough the business is, but I also know how important preparation is, and I think that's what Phil has always done as a player and as a broadcaster. But something's not right with the analysis, and I don't know if it's he's missing or guessing or not watching. I don't know, because Brady threw it at Woodhead's feet, right at his feet. No problem. There's no intentional grounding there. And Phil said, oh, that's intentional grounding, and then said, oh, I didn't see Woodhead sitting there. And then Jim Nance had to cover for him and say, oh, I get it, partner. I'll let that one slide because I'm obviously summarizing. And I'll let that one slide because Danny Woodhead's so small, it's sometimes tough to see. No, it was easy to see. And then Matt Light jumps offside on a screen, and he said, well, Matt Light, the reason he jumped offside is because he was trying to get out on that little bubble screen that the Patriots and a lot of teams run so he could get out there and block. Well, they showed the replay. And Matt Light was doing nothing of the sort. Matt Light was staying in, wasn't pulling and getting out on the edge at all. And then on a 2-point conversion, this is the one that was awful analysis, folks. Bad. It's called, and for a guy who's been in it that long, it just told me something's not right. Give me Gus Johnson as the number one. Give me Gus Johnson as the play-by-play guy. Hell, put me on CBS's team. Truth be told, CBS has got plenty of guys. Would love to do it. I don't think they're calling me anytime soon to do it. Would be awesome. But they're not a number one team. Jim Nance is a wonderful play-by-play guy. Jim's as smart as we have in the business. Jim's not a great football play-by-play guy. Or about Jim's great golf guy, great host. That's Jim's specialty. And been a broadcaster of the year, won it all. But he's not, I don't think that he's your number one football play-by-play guy. That's just me. That is, I'm just telling you. But more importantly, then on the 2-point conversion, Phil Simms. So when you have one guy that can cover for another, but this is not a great team anymore. That on a 2-point conversion, it's 14-9 when the Patriots score a touchdown. And Bill Belichick decides to go for 2. And Phil Simms disagrees and says it's too early in the game to go for 2. Which tells me a bunch of things. One is, when you look at the way the game's been going, the Jets been shutting down the Patriots, and you don't know how many more times you'll get down there. Excuse me, that comes into play. 2 is, when the score is 14-9, in the situation you're in, what would going for it be a problem. If you went for it, if you went and kicked the single point, what's the lead then? 14-10, which is what? You got to score a touchdown. A field goal won't help make it 14-13 if that's all you got a chance at. Okay, that's number one. Number two is if you go for it and don't get it, it's 14-9. If you go for the two-pointer and get it, don't get it, it's 14-9. That's a five-point difference, and what do you have to do in order to win the game? You still got to get a touchdown. So either way, kick the extra point or go for the two-point conversion and miss it, you're still down by a touchdown. So the extra point didn't mean shit. Didn't mean a thing. And when you look at the course of the game, it's not like the Patriots had scored 30 and the Jets had scored 33 and it's just a track meet up and down. It was a struggle to get down in the red zone. So Bill Belichick does what Bill Belichick does and makes a smart move and decision. Now, you'll question that on the fake punt. Now, if the up back doesn't drop that fake punt, they had it sealed off to the right. If the up back doesn't lay it on the ground, it was a great call because he may still be running out the right, but he dropped it and had to go out left, and the Jets defended it. Boom, ended up being a mistake. Those are the gambles you take as a head coach, which make you good, great, big balls, or none. But so all of a sudden, the two-point conversion would make it 14-11. If you did get it. So what does that tell you? Now you're a field goal away, and it completely changes your offensive approach to tie the game, possibly get it to overtime. So I'm not quite sure. Those were just three. It happened many times during the broadcast, and it's happened a lot during the year because I watch and I listen. I don't think they're doing a great service to the number one team. It's just me. Not being critical, being fair. I'm being fair. And being fair is real simple. Love Jim Nance. I've known him years. Love Phil. But looking at it from that point of view, I'm just sorry to tell you, your number one team can't miss that many plays. They just can't. And a terrible, terrible philosophy on going for a two-point conversion. And if you're doing your homework and doing it right, you would have known the situation and recognized why you had to go for two in that position and not one. Let's get out to Tim in Florida. I know his Pittsburgh Steelers were big. He also told me 2 weeks ago or a week and a half ago that the Patriots were not going to win and that the Steelers would be playing to go to the Super Bowl and the Patriots wouldn't. Great call by him. He joins us in Florida. Tim, long time no talk. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing pretty good about yourself, Sean.
I'm doing great, my man. What a weekend, not only for your Steelers down, getting their butt kicked and to be able to fight back, but a Jets team putting it on the Patriots. I mean, we got some good things going on, but it just showed me that the Pittsburgh Steelers got guts the size of a, you know, and balls the size of a burglar, and that the Steelers and the Jets know how to back it up when they talk, and this should be one hell of a football game. Advantage Steelers at home, advantage Steelers because of Big Ben.
Yeah, I was surprised because early in that game I was really worried that offense just wasn't clicking and they were making too many mistakes, but it just goes to show, like you say, if you stick to your guns, continue on your game plan, good things usually happen, and I think you summed it up right. I think Baltimore just panicked, they quit, and, you know, this is what happens. And, you know, the reason I talked about the Patriots losing was the point I wanted to make was that outside of Belichick and Brady, that roster was full of inexperienced players you never heard of. And, you know, playing in the NFL, playoffs are a whole different ballgame. You know, it's a whole different atmosphere.
Sure are.
Guys have to step up, and I just wasn't confident that the Patriots had the guys that could do that.
And, boy, and you know what's interesting? We criticize the Jets for doing a lot of talking, but I'll tell you what. Their talk wasn't just to try and rattle the cage. Their talk was actually they talked themselves into believing that they're that good, and it pays off. One thing I don't think they can do in this game, Tim, I don't think they can stand toe-to-toe, the Jets meaning, and fist fight. The difference between Pittsburgh and New England is Pittsburgh's defense is far more physical, far more. The Patriots get by on fooling you and confusing you and relying on their offense to hang 30, which I think eight straight games they'd hung 30-plus points.
Right.
That would have been their ninth. They just never got into a rhythm and were taken out by the Jets because the Patriots really are a pretty – and they can run it and be physical at times, but they're a finesse team.
Right.
But Pittsburgh is not a finesse team, and that's where the Jets are going to have it on both sides of the ball. They're going to have to – they're going to have to get rid of this emotion over this win and find a way to go on the road and deal with the physicality of Pittsburgh, which is not going to be easy. But you know what? We've questioned the Jets before. And I don't think we do a lot of questioning of the Steelers anymore. We know how to win.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. I think that the Jets have to remember that Pittsburgh's defense is not the Indianapolis Colts or the Patriots' defense.
That's for sure.
And Paul Amalu didn't even play that game that they were able to pull out in Pittsburgh. So, and just once again, I mean, I'm sure you can back this up more than anybody, but you get into the AFC Championship game, it's all about where you've been, your experience, are you familiar with what you're getting into, and the atmosphere. And again, I think Pittsburgh, as they've shown, you know, since the 70s, they have the ability to get into this position and do what needs to be, done to win this game. And you're right, the Jets are a good team. I just think they're still a couple of years away. I think Sanchez still needs another year to develop.
Yep.
And I think that they're definitely going to be a major player. As a matter of fact, I might be bold enough to say they may have supplanted Indianapolis as the most scary team out there right now as far as developing and coming up. And the run they could go on over the next 5 to 6 years.
You're talking about building it the way they built it with young players and a mix of good veterans. Yeah. There's no question. You know what's interesting? This is Rex Ryan's second year. Talk about not getting the credit he deserved. They were in the AFC Championship a couple plays away from being in the Super Bowl last year.
Yep.
You know, and now they're playing against Pittsburgh. But I can tell you this, and your quarterback in Pittsburgh does not get enough credit for this, and I know he's had his difficulties off the field, and you know what? So be it. He's lining up in a uniform. He's you know, taking his punishment, and he's doing what he's supposed to do, and hopefully doing it off the field too. But I can tell you this, there's only one quarterback in the NFL who knows how to win bigger games than him, and that's the guy in New England for the most
part. Right.
But you're talking now. If Ben gets to a Super Bowl, this will be his third Super Bowl in, what, 6 years?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You've got 2 and 5, I believe. You're talking about third Super Bowl. So half the time he's in a league, 3 Super Bowls. Doesn't that put a third one? Is that Tom Brady's number also?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so obviously we Brady is going down as history as one of the great quarterbacks. Well, I get that. And Ben looks a little uglier doing it, doesn't look as pretty doing it, kind of gawky and you know, gets out of the pocket and waddles out of there in his big body, but he's a playmaker. So, and this is Manning and Breeze included and Phillip Rivers. There's nobody aside from Brady who knows how to win big games better than Ben Roethlisberger. Now, the people may not like him, they may not put him in the top, and whenever we talk about the top 3 or 4, Roethlisberger's name is always brought in behind Manning, Breeze, Rivers, and Brady. And you know, people are throwing Aaron Rodgers in there. So Ben's either in the top 5, sometimes falls out, depending on who you talk to. But I can tell you this, he can carry him on his back, and aside from Brady, there's no quarterback in this league that knows how to win big games better than he does. And
well,
that goes well, and that goes a long way when you're in this position he's been in, because next week, this is not foreign grounds for Ben Roethlisberger.
Yep, that's what the confidence factor is what I think the experience is what's going to help, because you're right. He doesn't put up the sexy numbers. He doesn't put up the 400 yards passing and 5 touchdowns, but he just keeps winning. And, you know, say what you want, but like I said, I mean, as a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, he makes me nuts. There are times I think, man, what is he doing? And then there's times where you just love him. That third 19 call where they went downfield was beautiful.
You just said it's not sexy because he doesn't throw for 400 yards, but that was a pretty sexy throw. Third and 19 to put it right where only his guy could get it. I mean, that was the difference in the game.
Yeah,
to make that throw under those circumstances and to put it then to take him down there and get in the end zone and win the game. I mean, he gets it. There are certain people get it, and you're not born. I'm telling you, you don't develop that, Tim.
No.
It's 888-346-9144. You don't develop that. Now, you can develop how to be a better leader as you watch great guys in front of you, and you learn. You learn how to study better, all those things. I don't believe Brady, Montana, Ben Roethlisberger. I'm talking about guys on the field who perform. I don't believe you develop that. I believe you're born with that ability to just say, man, I really don't care what's going on around me. None of those three guys I just named, Montana, Brady, or Roethlisberger, none of them need to be front-running quarterbacks. They can be behind, they can be in front, they can be tied. I'm talking about for the most part. Yes, the Jets confused Brady and outplayed him, and we've seen Peyton Manning the same way, and Drew Brees, the Seahawks did it. You know, Brees had to throw 60 times. I get that. I'm talking about for the most part, on the majority of the time. The Montanas, the Bradys, the Roethlisbergers, there's very few things that rattle them and prevent them from playing really good football week in and week out. And I don't believe you're born. I mean, I believe you're born, excuse me. I don't believe you develop. You can develop good leadership skills by studying and preparing. but there's a certain part that just that's born in you that you just know that nothing phases you when it matters. And I don't believe that's developed. Now, it develops over confidence in time, as Elway once told me in person when I asked him, when there's a buck 50 to go, John, you can be struggling, yet it's like a light switch goes on with you and your teammates that they just expect you to win a game when it's over, when they don't think they can, yet when everybody else doesn't, but your team does. And he says, yeah. He goes, Sean, over time, when you've done it 5, 10, 12, 15, 20 times, then the guys just assume that you're going to do it again. And that's a good thing.
Right.
So that part you can develop, the confidence in the guys around you. But I don't believe that those guys like Elway, who make plays when the game's on the line consistently, I don't believe that was developed. I believe that they're just born with the ability not to let things phase them and to be able to make it happen. And I can tell you, having played the position, that's not an easy thing to do.
Well, your point's made with you look at Indianapolis and New England. Both those franchises are built on their quarterbacks for good reason. But
absolutely.
This year shows that, you know what? You can have the greatest quarterback out on the field, but if you don't have guys around him that are you know, putting up numbers and doing what they need to do, you can fall short. You rely too much on that quarterback, he can come back to haunt you.
Well, you know what? It's like relying too much on a pitcher.
Yeah.
You know, we saw it in Texas for a while here, Cliff Lee, and then all of a sudden when Cliff Lee gives up four runs, you're screwed because you can't. It's right. Like, oh, my gosh, we didn't expect Cliff to give up four runs.
Yeah,
How do we respond? It changes the mentality of your football team. And in Pittsburgh, in New England, in Indianapolis, in New Orleans, what are the teammates around those guys thinking? Because many times, oh, no problem, Peyton will find a way to get it done.
Right.
So you almost get caught in this mentality of, and Pittsburgh not quite as much because their defense will say, you know what, it's okay, we'll find a way to get it done. But you can get very caught up in New England saying, oh, it's no big deal, Brady's got the ball in his hand, he'll find a way to get it done. Drew Brees, shoot, Drew's done it before. He'll get it. So you start to get caught as a player and a teammate to sit around and say, well, you wait for that guy to make a play as opposed to you making a play. And I think the advantage for Pittsburgh is they know their guy can make a play, but they don't spend a whole lot of time sitting around waiting for somebody else to make a play. And I think that's one of Mike Tomlin's great strengths as a coach. He's counting on a whole bunch of people to make a play. Now, did you watch the New England Jets game, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
Am I right about Phil Simms in that crew? Is something missing?
Yeah, and I mean, I wondered if you were going to step on that because you're right. I mean, especially as you get to this time of year, I mean, he's you know, he was a proven quarterback. We know this, and he's a knowledgeable, good guy. But there's so many times you're scratching your head going, "What are you talking about?" You know, that 2-point conversion was a perfect example. I mean, why would you not go for the 2-point?
Yeah, see, that's the point he should have made. You have no choice but to go for 2 points.
Right.
And it was completely, I'm sitting there thinking, man, what's going on? Because I have so much respect for him, but I've seen the level of, and he's not old. Phil's in his 50. I mean, he's in his prime of his career. But there's something not right because you could have taken a person who's never played and said, oh, you're just figuring it out, saying, and then you should be thinking about those things like a player does is going on. You know what? And it's not that big a deal, but it makes the broadcast tougher to watch. It really does because, I mean, I'm expecting he's been a Super Bowl quarterback. And what was the MVP? What, 25 or 28 in the Super Bowl? I mean, and I'm sitting here thinking, I consistently seeing it fall off. And there was 7, 8, 9 times in the game where I'm like, what are you talking about? And the 2-point conversion was a classic example of just was not prepared for the game situation. And if you're going to expect the players on the field to be prepared for it, you owe it to the fans to give them the proper analysis to let them know the situation and exactly why that is your job and why you get paid a couple $1 million a year to do it.
Well, you make a good point, though. I mean, Jim Nance is excellent at golf, college basketball. He's phenomenal. But do you think him not being at the same level, I mean, you've done this before. I mean, if you don't have a guy that you can count on for color and interject his thoughts, does it throw your game off? Maybe that's part of it.
Yeah, and you know what? And there's in a game like that, I need more energy.
Yeah.
I just do. That's why a guy like Gus Johnson, does that. I think Gus is great because you know what? He, and whether people like Brent Musburger or not, you know, whatever, at least Musburger, there's a different energy when Brent calls the game. It's just he gets fired up. You are looking live. I mean, and then it's the same when you watch Gus Johnson fired up. It's Dick Vitale. You may not like it, but there's an energy that these guys bring because it just can't be second down and 10 and, oh, great throw. But there's got to be, you grab them, grab me by the throat and let's roll with it. I don't know. It just bothers me, man, because I try to look at the broadcasters. We're at the NFC Championship, AFC Championship game next week. I need my broadcasters to be at the same level as the players, don't you?
No kidding.
Man. Well, Tim, congratulations to your Steelers, my man. Next week, we'll talk throughout this week. Next week's going to be a special, special weekend. Man, the Steelers just trying to put a clamp on considering themselves the greatest franchise of all time.
Yep. If hard to argue. The house, I may be coming to see you.
Yep, hard to argue. Well, I hope that it's a good one. And let's talk this week. My best to you and your family, and I hope things are well, buddy.
Good, bud.
Appreciate it. Congrats.
All right.
Tim Anslinger. He's been a guest host on the show, one of my favorite people. Loves his Pittsburgh Steelers, but he always looks at it from the valid point of view without being a homer, which is tough to do when you're a huge fan of a certain team. Got a little more to go. 2 hours rolls fast here. Playoff weekend, championship weekend, Super Bowl right around the corner, and Dallas is going crazy. Well, because they're not in it. But the parties, I'm sure, are going to be going wild. I'll stay away. We'll be right back.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
Don't miss the show that gives you exclusive access to your favorite pro athletes off the field and in our communities. Join host Nick Murphy for Heroes Radio. Hear it directly from the source as we take you behind the scenes with your favorite stars. It's sports, community, entertainment, and fun. And it's all part of Heroes Radio. Tune in Friday afternoons at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 p.m. Pacific, only on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Hey, football fans, are you ready for an intelligent discussion about the Buffalo Bills and the National Football League? Are you tired of listening to talk show hosts that have never played football? Instead of answering your questions, they prefer to listen to themselves. And when they don't like what you're saying, they just cut you off. Well, that won't happen on the Jeff Nixon Sports Report. Keep it clean, stay relatively calm and rational, and the discussion will flow well. Join Jeff Nixon Monday afternoons at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Sports Network.
Are you ready to talk football with the greatest wide receiver player and coach in NFL history? Tune in to Wide Open with Andre Rison. Andre is ready to talk to you and give his thoughts on the sport. There'll be celebrity guests, coaches, players, artists, and more. He'll go beyond the game with a look from the coach's point of view and feature a high school player each week. Tune in to Wide Open with host Andre Rison, featured Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
The fans now have a voice to speak their mind. No holds barred.
They need to bitch his ass and then move on.
I just think that the coach made a mistake.
All crazy.
NFL, MLB, NBA, NHL. Speak up.
Speak up.
Or forever hold your mouth.
We ain't playing around here.
Voice America Sports.
Locked in to Sean Salisbury, unfiltered, on the Voice America Sports Channel. To make your voice heard, call in to 888-346-9144. That's 888-346-9144. Or send an email to SeanSals@gmail.com. That's SeanSals@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
Wow, man, it rolls fast. And my man AC sent in an email. He says, I thought the games were great, and I agree that Flacco is simply good but not great. I thought he wilted under the pressure from the Steelers, and I don't think he can argue that. And it'll be a great learning experience for Joe because, you know, at his young age, he's played in a ton of playoff. I mean, he's, you know, what, his first, what, few seasons in the league, the guy's been a playoff starter. So he's growing. He'll grow into the position. But agreed, AC, that, and as I said also, he's a good player, but he's not great. And it showed who had more non-blink mentality, and it was Ben Roethlisberger by far in the game. I like what Rex did to the Patriots, and I believe the Jets exploited and bullied the shit out of the experienced receiver core of the Patriots. The receiving core looked lost, and the coverage schemes had Brady and the entire staff of the Patriots confused. No doubt. And Rex had, this is me speaking, Rex had his goal set on out-coaching Bill Belichick, and he did in the game, which, folks, doesn't happen very often. I was more amazed that the Patriots did not make any halftime adjustments to what the Jets were doing. And there's no doubt also that the Patriots, that there was a tempo. There was something missing from the attack mode that the Patriots are usually in. It almost looked like they were playing not to lose as opposed to playing to win. and I don't think you win like that. And the same thing on Saturday, or excuse me, yesterday, early game, Sunday. The Seahawks came in there saying, well, we'll play close to the vest. When it's a 7-9 and then an 8-9 team, you got nothing to lose. Cut it loose. Win against the whole philosophy. If you say you're going to kick to Devin Hester, well, then you're cutting it loose and leaving nothing on the field. Well, then why the heck are you playing scared and playing safe? And they played scared, did the Seahawks. And it didn't look like, to me, like the Patriots were their normal aggressive attack self. And while I agree with you that Randy Moss would not have changed the outcome of the game, I do believe that he would have created much better matchup opportunities for the Patriots. Sure he would have, because then you would have had to take Darrell Revis and stick him on the number one receiver, which would be Moss as far as big play threat, which now, the depth-wise of the Jets, you've actually added another guy, and now your third corner becomes the guy who's got to more than likely cover Wes Welker inside, because your second guy would have covered Deion Branch on the outside, Cromartie. And now you got a third corner or a linebacker on Wes Welker, which is a complete mismatch, which is exactly what the Patriots thrive on, is mismatches. And I don't know, but the thing with Moss is if you take him out of a game early, he'll disappear. I don't think it would have made a difference, because I think the Patriots were just clearly outplayed, but it would have created a better matchup. I think the Patriots' success post-Moss masked many of the deficiencies in an offense, made the loss of Moss seem insignificant. There's absolutely no deep threat for the Patriots, which they need to get next year, there's no doubt. And they have 2 1s, 2 2s, and 2 3s, so they'll find a wide receiver. And no one to loosen up the underneath routes for the receivers. And that's exactly what the Jets did, is that they forced you and begged and dared you to beat them deep, and you were going to have to hold the ball to get deep, and we were going to pressure you enough, and they did not get separation beyond 10 yards, other than tight end and some late crossing routes that ended up working, some deep dig in routes that ended up working. The Jets bullied the Patriots and took away the things the Patriots do best. The Jets' offensive and defensive lines thoroughly dominated both sides of the ball. And correct me if I am wrong, but Mark Carrier, line coach, did an outstanding job taking away the traps and zone running schemes of the Patriots. Yes, he did. And he makes the point. Mark Carrier is a former USC Trojan, a longtime buddy of mine. But Mark did an outstanding job. And this is a safety, an all-pro safety, folks, who've been to the Pro Bowl many years, that Rex Ryan hired and put him as a defensive line coach. Now, that's a good coach. That's a good coach. Meaning, not only Rex Ryan seeing that Mark could coach any position, but that's a good coach who notices and recognizes that, okay, he doesn't have to teach safeties to be a good coach. He doesn't have to teach safeties to be a good coach of the secondary. He can coach anybody, and that's exactly what Mark Carrier's done. This is a guy who prepares and was always a student of the game and did a great job with his defensive line coaching him up. And when you do that, what happens next? Well, if the defensive coordinator all of a sudden leaves, boom, you get elevated. You never know. That's the evolution of the coaching position, and Mark Carrier did a great job. But you're exactly right, AC, thoroughly dominated both lines of scrimmage. And it didn't necessarily have to mean by rushing for 300 yards or one of those. They just dominated them and didn't let anything. They didn't give up a whole lot, the Jets. In the secondary, linebacking core did a nice job. They tackled well. A few times they let people run through them. Woodhead plays hard. Jarvis Green obviously plays hard. But in truth, they just did a better job. Out-schemed, out-coached, out-adjusted, out-played. And this is 2 years in a row now the Patriots go into the offseason bitter and angry at the world, which makes them dangerous to other teams. But also, you'll see them go right back to work. This is what they do. They won't go into the tank and pout, like I said, unless something's happened in the last few weeks, which I don't think they've traded for Vincent Jackson. This team has 2 1s, 2 2s, and 2 3s, unless I'm crazy. But I don't think I am. So you got a team that was favored to win the Super Bowl coming into the playoffs and has all those draft picks. Now they got a lot of room to maneuver. Get that receiver that AC's talking about. Go out and get some more depth at certain positions defensively and on a lot of different, get more physical, as Tim, who called in, was talking about. But that's a dangerous mode for people for the rest of the league to know that the New England Patriots have that many draft picks for a team that many thought was going to the Super Bowl this year with their record and how good they are. But they're not, because you still have to play the game, and they were outplayed by the New York Jets. And great job by Rex Ryan. So, folks, when are we going to start giving him credit? Do you downgrade Rex Ryan because he talks and he drives you crazy and he jokes? The dude can coach. 2 years a head coach for the Jets, 2 years in the NFC, in the AFC Championship game. Now, he can validate some great coaching if he gets to the Super Bowl and wins it. But there's no doubt that he's headed in an unbelievable direction and the Jets are building something. Which, and I mentioned to Tim, are the Pittsburgh Steelers the greatest franchise ever in football? The Dallas Cowboys are going to argue. The San Francisco 49ers are going to argue. Maybe that's a comment. So you stew that over. We'll talk about that tomorrow. I'm not on the show tomorrow. You stew it over this week. We'll talk about that. The greatest football franchise ever. Who is it? Who's the greatest franchise ever? We'll wrap this thing up. Is it the 49ers? Is it the Steelers? Is it the Cowboys? Or do you think it's somebody else? You let me know. It's Voice America Sports. Thanks to Chad and everybody at Voice America Sports. I'll get with you this week. I'm off tomorrow on Voice America Sports. I appreciate all you do.
Thanks for tuning in to Sean Salisbury Unfiltered. We hope you'll come back weekdays at 10 a.m. in the East, 7 a.m. in the West, on the Voice America Sports Channel. Take care.